the songs. I love all four or five Advent candles, even though one keeps on being taken on Sunday morning.
Yep.
Who's ever taken the purple candles, we'd love to have them back. It's not a joke. I love caroling. I love Christmas cookies. I love being able to dig into the Christmas story with all of you this time of year. Christmas Day is 2 weeks from right now. Is that crazy? 2 weeks. And our nation today, many churches are canceling church on Sunday morning, on Christmas morning. We don't have to come to church on Sunday morning, Christmas this year. You don't have to. We get to come to church Christmas morning and gather and celebrate the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, who is God with us. So I strongly encourage you to come Christmas morning and dig into the Christmas story and unwrap the greatest Christmas present you have ever, could ever, or will ever get. If you have your Bibles, though, this morning, go ahead and grab them and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. But before we start, let's pause and go to the Lord in prayer. God, we give thanks again that we're here today. Father, it's a lot of distractions around this world today where we can be busy or preoccupied. And Lord, I pray that we focus on what you have for us this morning that's found in your word. In your name, amen. Our text today starts in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Matthew 1, starting in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, we read, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, he was told, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. In verse 23, we read, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I read recently about a group of young students telling the Christmas story to a group of older adults at a retirement home or a nursing home. Each student was given a part to play and a few lines to say about the character that they were representing. Many of them even chose to dress the part. One by one, each student went up front and said who they were and said those lines and looked the part that they had in the Christmas story. The people in the home that morning, they heard from Mary, the shepherds, the wise men, the innkeeper. They also even got a few words from the donkey that Mary rode on. After they were done, the children went and sat down and were ready for some cookies and punch. But before they could have some treats, an older gentleman in the back cleared his throat and raised his hand and asked, what about Joseph? The student's teacher's face quickly turned red. She had forgotten about Joseph. She had a donkey, but she did not have Joseph. How could this happen? She thought. The sad truth today is we often do the same when we think or talk about the first Christmas. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, almost appears as an afterthought. We tend to focus on Mary, baby Jesus, the shepherds, and the wise men. We forget about a man who played a key part, who had a deep, deep faith and modeled obedience for all of us. In the Bible, Luke barely mentions Joseph in his account of the Christmas story. And in Matthew mentions Joseph, but we still do not hear Joseph speak. We do have enough, though, to be challenged greatly by the story and the faith and the obedience of Joseph. This morning, together, we're going to look at the first Christmas with a focus on the faith of Joseph. My prayer and my hope this morning is that each of us here today are challenged and motivated to walk by faith in obedience rooted in God's Word. So let's dig in to this text. The most important night in history starts off with a huge conflict, a crisis. Look at verse 18 with me. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We find many important things out in this single verse. We first read that Mary and Joseph are engaged. Some of your translations probably say betrothed. And then we read that she's pregnant. Being engaged in this time of history looked completely different than what it looks like today. In the first century of Jewish culture, being engaged meant you were legally bound together. You're already considered to be husband and wife. It was also custom in those days that for the year-long engagement, for the year of the engagement, out of order yesterday. Who was at the marriage yesterday? I got way ahead of myself yesterday too. It was custom in those days that in the year between the engagement and the consummation of marriage, the bride and groom spent little time together. They didn't have time to get to know each other. They spent time apart. So when Matthew says in verse 18 of our text today that Mary was pregnant before they came together, he is saying Mary was with child before they consummated their marriage. This was a very big deal for several reasons. Before we dig into those reasons, though, think about Joseph in this moment. We don't know exactly how Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, but we can imagine together the difficult conversations that they must have had together. Moments of talk that he had with Mary, his fiance. Imagine Joseph's shock when Mary told him that she was pregnant. Joseph maybe might have responded with a stunned silence. He didn't know what to say. And to take it further, Mary tells him she's pregnant, but then she tells him that her baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit in verse 18 of Matthew. I'm sure Joseph by now was full of many emotions. He had to be. He had to be confused. He had to be hurt. He had to be troubled. And he probably was even angry at what she had told him. Imagine with me, if you can, Joseph looking at Mary. Mary, are you serious? How could you do this to me? What do you mean you're still a virgin? That's impossible. Who did this to you? Where's he at? Joseph in this moment felt betrayed. He felt alone. He felt stuck. This was his worst nightmare. Joseph trusted Mary to be faithful and devout, and he pledged his life to her. And yet it seemed like she had betrayed him. This had to be a shock. And it was probably almost too much to bear. This is why I tell you, Joseph often is the forgotten part of the Christmas story. Joseph was real like you and me. He felt these emotions. We need to also remember that Joseph had not yet heard from God when Mary told him. He had not been visited by an angel like Mary. All Joseph had to go on in this moment was Mary's word. And what Mary was telling him was not only greatly troubling, it had to be, and it was greatly confusing. All Joseph was trying to do was be a good man. He was faithfully living his life, working as a carpenter, doing his best to build for his future family. Matthew tells us a lot about who Joseph was as a person in verse 19, where we read, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Matthew tells us Joseph was a faithful man who was devoted to keeping the law and the covenant. Joseph had every legal right of the day to break off the engagement with Mary. With Mary being pregnant, it broke the promise, the bond of the engagement. In this time of history, if you'd become pregnant while you were engaged, you were found to have committed adultery. And this was a very, very serious thing. Joseph had really only had two options, two choices. He had to decide what he was going to do. Joseph, first, he could publicly shame Mary by bringing her before the religious authorities, resulting in her shame and her family's shame. It could also, you need to know this, it could also bring her death through public stoning. The other option Joseph had was to divorce her quietly, to quietly walk away. We find out a lot about Joseph here and who he really was as a man. He needed some time to think. His world had been turned upside down. Joseph knew that if he was thinking, if I stay with Mary, I'll still endure great embarrassment because of what she did to me. He knew that he'd face questions from his friends and family. Joseph knew many would think less of him, even causing his standing in his community to weaken. He also knew that his career that he was trying to build as a carpenter would be hurt. But Joseph, though, showed mercy and grace. He loved Mary. Joseph knew what would happen to Mary if he divorced her because of her infidelity. He knew she might be killed or kicked out of her family and shunned by the community. Joseph knew she'd barely survive. She'd spend her entire life begging, borrowing, and probably stealing just to survive for her and her new baby. But Joseph was a good man. He was a faithful, godly man. We see that in our text. He would never want this for her or for his family. And Joseph didn't let his anger dictate his decision. He wasn't irrational. For a young man who had his entire life turned upside down, he demonstrated remarkable grace and poise. He took time and assessed the situation. He looked at Mary. He saw her. And he's like, I'm going to be selfless here. I'm going to make the best choice I can for her. So Joseph was torn between loyalty to his wife and loyalty to the law. We read in Scripture that he was faithful. So he attempted to do both by being loyal to Mary and to the law. So he decided to walk away or to divorce her quietly. Our text doesn't stop here, though. Look at verses 20 through 23 with me. But after he had considered this, meaning he had spent some time thinking, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't know how long it was where Joseph wrestling with this, listening to Mary, trying to figure out what to do. We don't know how long it was until Gabriel, the angel, came and visited Joseph after Mary was visited. What we do know is Joseph probably had many sleepless nights. This was weighing on him. He had sleepless nights followed by probably days of great difficulty. His world had been turned upside down, and he thought his engagement was over. But God had different plans. One night, Joseph went to sleep like he did any other night, and everything in his life once again would be flipped upside down, but this time in a good way. God showed up to Joseph through a dream. God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream. But this wasn't a normal dream. This was a vivid and clear dream. The angel we see in our text looks at Joseph and refers to him as what? Son of David. The angel first called Joseph son of David, appealing to his pride of his legacy, of his family heritage. You are of royal ancestry, is what the angel is saying to Joseph here. He's looking at Joseph and saying, yes, I know you're scared. I get that. But you are part of the people of God. The angel then appeals to him based on scripture. The angel reminds Joseph in this dream of the need to fulfill what was written in scripture. This moment right here tells us two things about Joseph. Scripture's already told us that he was a faithful man. But this moment right here tells us two things. That Joseph knew who he was. And he was committed to scripture. We don't know in this moment if Joseph remembered the scriptures read in the temple when he was young, or the words of the prophet Isaiah that tells us of the future Messiah will come from a young virgin in Isaiah 7:14. But the angel in this moment is looking at Joseph face to face and reminds him, just in case he had forgotten what was said in scripture, in the words of Isaiah. Imagine with me, if you can, Joseph in this moment. The last few days of his life had been a big roller coaster, a roller coaster of emotion. And God now is speaking to him through an angel. I don't know about you, but this would almost be too much to bear. But here's Joseph, the fulfillment of prophecy. The long-awaited promise was at the doorstep of his life. God didn't just pick any normal first-century Jewish man to bring the birth of his son. He picked a faithful son of David. He picked Joseph. The only other person in the New Testament to be referred to as son of David, by the way, is Jesus. This title came with authority, reminding Joseph of his royal lineage, and preparing for him the task ahead to lead. The angel in our scripture, though, tells Joseph all this, gives him this task. Again, Joseph had to be overwhelmed. Then the angel says, but I'm going to talk to you about the elephant in the room. The angel reassures Joseph that he should take Mary home as his wife, that the child that's going to be born is because of a miracle. It was miraculously conceived. It was not the result of adultery. The angel reminded Joseph that this was no ordinary birth and that his role would not be as an ordinary father. Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. The angel then tells Joseph he should take on the fatherly role and the husband's role towards Mary. Do what you should do it. You should do what you're told. Treat her normally. The angel even tells Joseph that the name of the child was to have. The name being Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. We read this in verse 21 of our text. They're in this part of history. And you know, you read that and you kind of skip over it. You're thinking, oh, he's got a name, big deal. But during this part of history, it was the father's role to name the child. It was the father's job. And by naming him Joseph, would essentially be adopting Jesus. This was a big thing. When Joseph did what he was told and gave him the name that God asked, Joseph was including him in his family. Unlike other earthly fathers, he would not be able to pick the name of his choosing. He was to name him Yahweh, Jesus, which means our Lord saves. I love what happens next in our text. I love it. Look at verses 24 through 25 with me again. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. When Joseph woke up from his dream, you see it right here in our text. He immediately obeyed in verse 24. Joseph obeyed without questioning God or saying, "I'll do this, God, if you do this." Don't we do that? "God, I'll do what you're asking, but you got to do this for me first." He didn't ask, you know, "God, I hear you. Give me 48 hours. Give me the weekend." He didn't ask that. He simply obeyed. In a few weeks, we're going to start a sermon series on Jonah together in January and look at the difficult mission that God called Jonah into. What we'll see there in this story of Jonah is something totally different happened. Jonah did not obey. Jonah was called to a difficult mission, but Jonah didn't wake up and go to Nineveh. If you know that story, we're going to look at that in a few weeks together. Instead, Jonah tried to find his way out of God's mission. But that's not what we see happening here today. We see immediate obedience. Joseph woke up and obeyed. When Joseph woke up, he was willing to obey every single command that God had given him. He wasn't going to walk away from Mary. He's going to grab Mary by the hand and follow God together. He didn't care what others thought. He cared about what his God said and thought. He shows us all the strength of his character and the depth of his faith right here to defy the expectations of his communities, of his community, of his neighbors, of his friends, and to take Mary as his wife. And just stop for a moment with me and think about what that meant for Joseph. We must all consider what Joseph was agreeing to right here. What Joseph was signing up for. This was no easy assignment. In marrying Mary, he put himself out there. He knew that people were going to question him, mock him. People are going to tell him how it should be done because it's the way we do it around here. Joseph knew that's what he was signing up for. He knew he would endure endless scrutiny. If you think Joseph struggled to understanding when he first found out Mary was pregnant and how she became pregnant, how well do you think those in his immediate circle, his family and his friends, would react when they're told, "Yes, Mary's pregnant by the Holy Spirit"? I bet they struggled too a little bit. Unlike Joseph, Joseph's friends and family wouldn't have the benefit of a visit from an angel or hearing from God. They'd either have to take Joseph at his word or they would reject him. But saying yes to God, Joseph was saying no to everything he had worked for. By saying yes to God, Joseph was saying no to everything he had worked for. His career, his reputation in the community. He's saying, "That doesn't matter, God, as much as what you're calling me to do does." Did you hear what I just said? Because we do it so often. We come up with pros and cons list. We do it, don't we? "God, I'll do this, but these are all the reasons why not to. The list is really long, and here's the reasons why I should." If the list says God tells you to, and that's the only thing you have to go on, that's enough. Society will tell you pros and cons. I did this when I chose my wife. I did. I had a pros and cons list. My grandpa said, take it to the trash and burn it. I said, all right. Does that mean you're saying don't, you know? He wasn't. What he was saying was, if God leads you to it, he'll lead you through it and in it. We do it so often. Oh, I can't do it. In 7 weeks, I have that thing on the schedule. There's no way I can't. I wish I could record my mind when I come up with excuses and play it back, because it would be a great comedy. It would. Hearing all the things that reasons why I've come up with why I can't do something. And then whatever God was calling me to do, I do it, not all the time. And I see his faithfulness, his goodness, his provision, and his grace, and his beauty. I'd never see that if I listened to the list of excuses. I'm talking about me here, and I know I'm not alone with this struggle. If God is calling you to do something, get up and immediately obey. We see that right here in our text. And I don't think we quite understand the risk that Joseph was taking in his community when he said, yeah, Mary, I see you. I understand that people aren't going to understand this. And people are going to mock us and question us. But I know God. And if God has brought us to this point, Mary, we're going to keep on walking by faith. God's not leaving us now when it's hard. I don't know about you, but those hard times is when I feel God show up the most. Joseph would not only lose his reputation, he could even lose his comfort and his safety. He let none of this stop him. He didn't even hesitate. He got up and obeyed. This is something we all struggle with. I know you don't want to hear it. It's Christmas time. We're supposed to talk about fun stuff. But the story of the first Christmas is full of beauty and obedience. It's right there for us. If God comes to you with a mission, with an idea, with a call, with an urge, you need to obey. You need to trust before you question. You might not see how it ever could happen. There's no way God could ever. You might have tried to talk yourself out of it, and you might even be trying to talk yourself out of it right now with what God's calling you to do. If God is knocking and speaking, you need to say yes and to trust him with every single detail. Nothing God said to Joseph made sense on many levels. But Joseph knew and trusted his God. He not only got up and obeyed, he continued to obey. This is Joseph's legacy. A man we see in Scripture very little, but this is his legacy. Forgotten mostly in church history, but remembered by God as a faithful servant. And all of us here today, all of us, every single one of us, this can be our legacy, built on faith and obedience. If you're willing, like Joseph, to say yes to God. And we don't do it. Something stops us. Fear stops us. Opinions stops us. Doubt, worry stops us. Mary, young girl, real young, pregnant, told by the Holy Spirit. Joseph hears this. What in the world? God speaks to him. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to obey. What is God calling you to today? It might be putting something down. It might be picking something up. What is he calling you to do today? As we close today, I want to leave you with just a few things from our text to challenge you. My hope and prayer before we started today was that you'd be challenged by our text. And I know when I was preparing for this morning, I was. The first thing I want you to hold on to from our text is this. Number one, choose to forgive. Choose to forgive. What's that have to do with anything in our story? Has everything. One of the things I think we skip over in the Christmas story is the choice that Joseph made. We've already thought about what it had been like to be Joseph, didn't we? You're recently engaged. In the season you should be celebrating, you find out your fiance is pregnant. Be honest with yourself this morning. How would you feel? You not only would be deeply hurt, you more than likely would be angry. You'd have been betrayed. Trust had been broken. How would you feel? Would you be able to control your anger, your hurt, and your frustration? Or would you quickly want to get even, to get revenge? That's what our society tells us to do. Joseph had every right to be upset. He had every legal right to throw Mary to the wolves. In the law at the time it was written, adultery was punishable by death through stoning in Deuteronomy 22. The world labeled Mary as guilty. Joseph could have turned to the world and the world's law and destroyed Mary, but he chose not to. You see, I've already told you this. I said it a minute ago when I said Joseph listened to God in every single detail. He chose not to listen to the world. He chose to listen to God. Joseph chose to not make a public example of Mary. Joseph chose to forgive Mary. Instead of exposing her great sin, he chose to quietly divorce her and avoid the public shame. Joseph showed Mary grace. I often can't wrap my mind around what Joseph did here. When I'm hurt, I struggle to forgive. And here we have Joseph, his world turned completely upside down, betrayed and broken, and he shows Mary grace and mercy. The more I think about it, though, the more I realize that's us. That is you and that is me today. We never deserve to be forgiven, but we are. We often turn our back to God and He still chooses to love us and forgive us. In a world that will tell you revenge over forgiveness, we need to choose to be like Christ and forgive. Joseph didn't listen to the world. And we shouldn't either. Forgiveness is a beautiful thing. It takes courage. And it takes a deep faith and obedience. The second thing to see here is Joseph trusted God. Joseph trusted God. Our story today is a powerful example of what it looks like to trust God even when you can't see how things are going to work out. Joseph's story shows us the power of faith and what can be accomplished if we simply believe. In an age filled with bad news and fear, we must choose to trust God. Joseph didn't even know how things were going to work out. He didn't even completely understand all that was going on, but he trusted God. Joseph could have been overwhelmed with his fear of the unknown, but he wasn't. Joseph's faith, hear me today, Joseph's faith conquered his fear. When Joseph heard that this was God's plan for him, all other concerns melted away. He put aside his fears and chose to follow God in faith. Joseph wasn't saying, "All right, I'm following God. Everything's going to be easy." He's saying, I'm trusting you, God. I'm going to follow you. I know there's going to be challenges involved, but I'm going to follow you. Joseph shows us what courageous faith looks like. When we know and trust God, and we dig into his word, and we build in our faith, we too will find courage to face our fears and to follow him. Joseph trusted God 100%. Today we can choose to trust God as well. God will never leave you. He is with us on the mountaintop moments of life, and he's with us in the valleys of life. Choose to trust. The third and the final thing here. Joseph obeyed God. Joseph obeyed God. Verse 24 of our text is a powerful verse. It's a verse that shows all of us what we need to do. In a time when Joseph was confused, and a lot of uncertainty may have been bothering him, Joseph obeyed God and put his trust, not in himself or somebody else, but God. He didn't go to Facebook. He didn't type in his symptoms on WebMD. He chose to trust God. That is the type of obedience that we all must have as Christians. Things might not seem to make sense. We can have confidence that God is always, when things seem to not make sense, we can have confidence because God is always in control, in complete control. We may not know what the future holds. None of us do. But we know that God knows what the future holds. He's with us around the next corner. He's with us over the next hill of life. God knows what the future holds, and we can put our trust in him today. Joseph's faith, not his opinions, not his thoughts, Joseph's faith moved him to complete obedience. Joseph's obedience showed his trust in God's wisdom and provision for the unknown. When Joseph heard the voice of God, he moved. God might not be speaking to you today through a dream or an angel. I get that. I understand that. But he speaks to us through his word. Are you willing to obey? Even in the hard things, even in the unknown. Joseph's life was turned upside down, but his faith led him to trust and obey, something we all need to do. Growing up, we have a family business on Washington Street in Marion. My great-grandfather started it in the 30s, and here we are almost 90 years ago, Pearson Printing, print shop. Across the street from us used to be a big restaurant. It burned down a few years ago, well, probably more than a few now. But when I was growing up, I was probably the age of Kaysen. This was a successful restaurant. The guy was very good at what he did. He had the opportunity placed before him to start a restaurant in Fishers. This is before Fishers blew up like it is now, you know, Noblesville area. And he was going to be on the cutting edge of things. He had a great opportunity that would have made him millions. Right before him. He had a decision to make. What was he going to do? Everybody was telling him, here's your chance to retire young, to move to Florida, to play golf, to have the easy life. When I retire young, I think my grandpa told me he's going to be like 45 years old. That's young. Millions. So he did. He sold the chain of his restaurant, and he made his millions. Did he ever go to Florida? No. Did he start writing checks? Yes. Is there many buildings on Indiana and Wesleyan's campus today that have brought many to the Lord and made many pastors around this nation and world because of his donations and his reach? Yes. God called him to do something that made no sense to anybody. He didn't know how it was going to work out, but he chose to obey. There's this young man working at White's. He wanted to be a big-time youth pastor. Sees an ad in the newspaper. Calls. Googles, where is Roanoke, Indiana? Tells his parents he's going to interview at a church in Roanoke, Indiana. Shows up to the wrong church the day of his interview in Roanne, Indiana. I did. Went to the First Brethren Church. I didn't know there was like 10 churches. How many? 6 churches, Ted, at one time here? 5? 5. I'm still looking for the stoplight in town. I literally showed up, and JP was the pastor there years ago. Bless his heart. He's now with Jesus in heaven. I don't know why I'm saying bless his heart. Good man. Didn't know what God was going to do in it and through it. But along the way, I've seen God be faithful. Church, hear me today. When God calls you to obey, obey. Because there's cool things that God does. And yesterday for me was one of them. I got to stand in front of a bunch of people, some of you here, and do the 5th wedding of a youth student. That's a pretty cool thing. I even remember to tell people to sit down, so I did well. Obedience is key. And obedience comes through faith. If God is calling you somewhere, if God's calling you to forgive, if God's calling you to make a change, if God's calling you to sacrifice, if God's calling you to it, he'll be with you through it. And Joseph in our story today, I hope you understand it. I've said it a lot. His world was turned upside down. His plans, he thought, were over. The woman, the girl of his dreams, had betrayed him. And God's saying, Joseph, hear me. I got a plan. And Joseph listens, gets up and obeys. Get up and obey. And do what God is calling you to do. Joseph might be forgotten more than he's remembered in our world today. But his example is one that we can all be challenged by. Even when everything seems to be going wrong, we must trust God. His ways are not our ways. He is God, and he is always moving. He's always working, and he is always good. If God's calling, say yes to him. If he's knocking on the door of your life, say yes. Obey God and follow. He is with you. God, we give thanks today. Father, we're thankful for the Christmas story. Shepherds, Mary, wise men, innkeeper, Joseph, who models for all of us what we need to do. In an age where we worry about what people think more than we should, God, give us strength and courage to focus on you and you alone. Change is a scary thing. Following you sometimes is really scary as well. But God, our faith in you must lead us to obedience. Lord, because being a Christian isn't sitting still. It's moving, it's acting, it's doing. Father, I'm thankful for the example of Joseph. Yes, he might be forgotten by many, but his example of grace, of mercy, of faith, and obedience is something we all, every single one of us in this room today, aged 5 to 90, it's something we all can be reminded of and challenged of today. God be with us. And for those of us in this room this morning that know you're calling, you're encouraging, you're pushing, give us the boldness and the courage to take that step of faith. In your name we do pray. Amen.